Please turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We want to read verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. This particular letter was written by James, the Lord's brother. The Bible teaches that the Lord had four brothers. Two of them were used to record books in the New Testament. The Lord also had sisters. We don't know how many. We don't know their names. But the names of his brothers are identified. I like to keep in mind when I'm studying from the book of James that we're reading something written by the brother of our Lord. There are a number of similarities between the Lord's teaching and James' writing. Both of them were magnificent illustrators. Jesus illustrated his lessons in such a way that people couldn't help but understand the points he was getting across. Well, you can see some similarities in the writings of James. He was a great illustrator, made his points very clear. And we need to be grateful that we can study his letter and learn the Lord's will. James 1, beginning at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Our intention is for this particular lesson to complement our study from this morning. This morning we studied passages that teach us about the glorious liberty of God's children that we read about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. These verses from the book of James teach us a very important lesson that we must apply while we're waiting to receive this glorious liberty. That lesson is, let us be doers of the perfect law of liberty. So this morning we talked about the glorious liberty of God's children. Tonight we want to study something that will help us to achieve that great goal, and that is, let us be doers of the perfect law of liberty. And to understand this message written by James, we need to keep in mind some information that he's already covered. For example, in verse 18 we learn that God wants his children to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, God does not want his children to be like everyone else in the world. The Bible says that those who have gotten into Christ are to be a peculiar people. That doesn't mean oddball. It just simply means different. We're to stand out from the rest of the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Now, to be a kind of first fruits of God's creatures, we must follow the instructions given in verses 19, 20, and 21. And we're especially taught in verse 21 about the importance of receiving the engrafted word with meekness. It has to do with the way that we receive God's holy word. Well, James went on to contrast two kinds of hearers in the verses that we read. And by doing so, James explained what is involved in receiving God's word in the right way. As he talked about two kinds of hearers, he showed that one obeys God's word, but then the other type of hearer does not obey. Well, we want to hear God's word in the right way. We're to receive with meekness the engrafted word because it's able to save our souls. And that has to do with being doers of the perfect law of liberty. Notice that one kind of hearer is mentioned in the first part of verse 22. The first part of verse 22 teaches us to be doers of the word. Well, if we're going to talk about something, we need to know what we're talking about. What is a doer of the word? Well, James went on to give a very helpful description of a hearer of the word or a doer of the word. For one thing, he looks into the perfect law of liberty. Years ago, I looked up that expression, look into, and it means to gaze carefully into something. And the illustration had to do with the occasion when Peter and John ran to the Lord's tomb after Mary Magdalene told them that Jesus was not there. John seems to have been faster than Peter. He got there first, but he didn't go in. When Peter got there, he went in. But if you'll study very carefully that account in the Gospel of John, you will see that they looked carefully into the tomb. They'd heard some good news. They wanted to find out if it was true. Well, we are to look into the perfect law of liberty, which means to gaze carefully into it. Well, what is the perfect law of liberty? It's the law of Christ, which is the New Testament. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 says that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Well, how is this particular law perfect? Well, it's perfect in that it provides liberty or the complete removal of sin. Now, why was it necessary for Jesus to come and establish his covenant? By the way, that was prophesied years earlier in Jeremiah chapter 31. The prophet Jeremiah said that a time was coming in the future when God would establish a new covenant with his people. It would not be like the one that he gave through Moses. It would be far greater. In this new covenant, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That new covenant that was going to come at the right time would provide the complete removal of sin. Well, Jesus is the mediator of that covenant. By the way, Hebrews chapter 10 shows us that the law of Moses could not take away sin. Look at Hebrews 10. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 1. Hebrews 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifice which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. For in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. God offered forgiveness under the old covenant for those who complied with his will. But there was not the complete removal of sins until Jesus died on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 shows that the Lord's blood flowed backward in time as well as forward in time. It covered the sins of those people that were committed under the old covenant, God's faithful people, but it also flowed forward in time in that it cleanses us of our sins today. But the law of Moses could not take away sins. There was a remembrance made every year. Now, some people like to use the expression that the sins of the Israelites were rolled forward. The Bible actually says they were remembered every year. That's why the Jews had to observe the Day of Atonement. It was a very special day for them. And on that particular day, the high priest would go into the most holy place with a very special sacrifice. He would offer a sacrifice for himself and for the sins of the people. But each year, he had to go through the same procedure. Why? Because those sins were remembered every year. Now, when the Lord shed his precious blood, he made it possible for sins to be completely removed. The Lord removes them from his memory. So as we look at the description of a doer of the word, and that's what we want to be. We want to be doers of the word. We find first that a doer of the word looks carefully into the perfect law of liberty, and we know what that law of liberty is. But he goes further than that. Not only does he look into it, but he continues in the perfect law of liberty. That means to abide in it. Number three, he's not a forgetful hearer. In other words, he does not forget what he learns from the law of the Lord. And then, number four, he is a doer of the work that is found in the law of the Lord. Well, James gives us a description of one who is a doer of the word. By the way, he tells us to be doers of the word. Exactly what does that include? Well, it includes looking into the perfect law of liberty. It includes abiding or continuing in the perfect law of liberty. It includes not being a forgetful hearer, but then it includes being doers of the work found in the law of liberty. Now, James shows us, this is back in James chapter 1 and in verse 25, that that kind of hearer will be blessed in his deed. I think we understand the importance of being doers of the word. We understand what it means to be a doer of the word, and we understand that doers of the word will be blessed. But then, James teaches us not to be hearers only. Now remember, we're talking about the importance of being doers of the perfect law of liberty. That's something that's required of us if we want to receive the glorious liberty of God's children at the judgment. We're not to be hearers only. Well, once again, James describes the kind of hearer that he's talking about. Look at verses 23 and 24. One who hears the word without doing what it says is like a person who looks at his face in a mirror. He sees himself as he is. That is, he's made aware of improvements that need to be made. But then he goes on his way. And as he goes on his way, he forgets the image that he saw. Now that's the illustration that James is using to help us understand that we must not be hearers only. Can you imagine looking in a mirror, seeing something that's out of place, or a blemish, or something that needs to be addressed, but then just going on without doing anything about it? Whenever I try to imagine that picture, Teresa and I used to have a ritual that we went through on Sunday morning. After I would get dressed, I would walk in front of her, I'd hold up my arms, and I'd say, "Okay, pick me." And if there were any small pieces of lint or anything, Teresa would find them and she'd get rid of them. Well, she was being a big help. Well, if you don't have someone else to be a picker, what do? You look in the mirror. You hope that everything's okay. But if something's out of place, or there's a blemish or something, it needs to be taken care of. Well, why do we do that? It's because we're concerned about our appearances. Now, some people are not concerned. What about the person who looks in the mirror? He sees something out of place, and he just goes on his way without doing anything about it. Well, we say, what's wrong with that fellow? Well, that would be something to consider. Now, James is presenting an illustration from real life that helps us understand that we're not to be hearers only. Now, what's James actually talking about? As he used that illustration, he was talking about a person who looks into God's Word. I appreciate that illustration, which says that God's Word is a mirror of the soul. I came across that expression years ago, and it's always stuck in my mind. If you really look into the Bible, you will see what God sees. Well, that's what we're concerned about. But as this person looks into the Word of God, he sees himself as God sees him. That is, he becomes aware of sins that need to be taken care of. But then he just goes on his way without doing anything about it. Now we would say, that just doesn't make sense. And that's exactly right. It makes as much sense as that person who has some type of a blemish, and he sees that blemish in the mirror, and he just goes on his way without doing anything about it. Now, which one is more serious? I think we see the answer to that question. Now, one who hears the Lord's word without doing what it says just deceives himself. He might convince himself that he is a righteous person. However, he has not fooled God. He's only fooled himself. Now, by giving this contrast of two kinds of hearers, James is helping us understand clearly what is involved in receiving the engrafted word with meekness, or being doers of the perfect law of liberty. By the way, I want to mention something that James dealt with in verses 19 and 20 of this chapter. He said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We've talked about that on other occasions. That's God's order in his perfect law. Well, we're responsible for looking carefully into the law, knowing what it says, and then putting that into practice. Just a couple of days ago, a man tried to provoke me to wrath, and I wasn't expecting it. He tried his best to get me involved in something I didn't want to be involved in. And he said something to me that was just totally out of line. He used some vulgar language. I thought, I've got to be careful how I deal with this. But I walked over to him. I don't know what he thought I was about to do. But I let him know in no uncertain terms that I did not appreciate his vulgar language. Now, he may have thought that I was coming to pour out some wrath upon him. Well, I wasn't going to do that, but I let him know that I didn't appreciate his vulgar language. And he kind of changed his tune a little bit. Well, I'm just using that as an illustration to show how things can come up on the spur of the moment that we do not expect. But if we have the Word of God hidden in our hearts and apply it to the situations that we face, we can be doers of the perfect law of liberty. I'm just glad that didn't happen about 50 years ago. Well, we run into situations where we have to put God's word into practice. If I had failed, there would have been other people who would have seen it. What kind of influence would I have had? Well, people today are so lacking in patience. We have to be very careful. James gives the proper order. Now, this is in the perfect law of liberty. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, why is it so important that we follow that order? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, James gives a contrast of two kinds of hearers. And by doing so, he teaches us what is involved in being a doer of the perfect law of liberty. Well, for just a few moments, let's consider some things that Jesus said during his ministry about the right way to hear his word. Now, I think the Lord ought to know more about this than anyone else. And we've considered what the Lord's brother had to say through inspiration. But let's listen to the Lord himself. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Let's read the Lord's concluding comments in his great Sermon on the Mount. He had revealed his will on many, many important subjects. But when he got to the end, he emphasized the importance of putting into practice that which he had just taught. Notice the illustration that he uses. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Notice how Jesus contrasted two ways of hearing his word. Hearing and doing. Hearing and not doing. I think we can see how important it is to be among the wise men. Look at Luke chapter 8 and let's read verse 18. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Jesus had just presented his parable of the sower, and then he explained it. After doing so, he said, "Take heed therefore how you hear." James teaches us how to hear. The Lord gave a very sober warning. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Look carefully into the scriptures. Learn what they teach. Make a personal application. And then when we see that changes need to be made with the Lord's help, we need to make those changes. Look at John chapter 12 and let's read verse 48. Jesus gave a very strong warning against rejecting his word. John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The Lord teaches us to hear correctly, but then he gives a very strong warning against hearing incorrectly. But then, as James taught, as we've already pointed out, those who continue in the Lord's word will be blessed. Go back to chapter 8 and let's read verses 31 and 32. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. During his ministry, Jesus had a lot to say about the right way to hear his holy word. So, as a conclusion, this is a word of admonition for all of us. Let us be doers of the perfect law of liberty. I think we understand how important that is, and we understand what is involved in being a doer of the perfect law of liberty. And by doing so, we can look forward to receiving the blessing that we talked about this morning. That is receiving the glorious liberty of God's children.